This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
About what every June 17th has been since I can remember, it's going to be hot and it's going to be humid. There's going to be chance for showers if you get caught under one. It could be heavy. It could cause street flooding, so be aware of that. And it's going to be that way through October unless there's tropical weather, which we don't want either. Don't forget, we got LSU pregame coming up at 9:30 here this morning as they continue the game that was suspended last night against UCLA. They are leading. Tim, tell me, I'm here. What's the score? 5-3. They're leading, so top of the fourth inning, and I chose to go to bed rather than waiting to see if they continued the game, and I made the right choice. David Schultz joins us now, a professor of political science at Hamline University, our friend. We're going to talk about the Minnesota shootings, and he knows the people that were shot. How you doing, David?
I'm doing really well. I hope you are today, too.
I am. Tell me about your relationship with the people that were shot.
Okay, so Melissa Horkman is the one who died. I've known her for about 10, 15 years. First time I met her was through one of my former students. It was some kind of charity event or something like that, and we sat at the same table. And she's a decent person, talked to her a few times, but let's say I knew her both through charity, volunteering kind of stuff, and of course at the state legislature, I knew her there. And then John Hoffman, really decent guy also. I do probably maybe a couple dozen talks a year in the Twin Cities, and John works at his own business not far from where I teach, and he always shows up to my talks. You know, we've had coffee a few times. Again, just really decent guy. I was going to say, I describe the Twin Cities as, big city, small town, if you kind of know what I mean. Everybody knows each other after a while.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess... The reason I wanted to ask you about that is so many times, for us, we hear these stories and it's just, okay, somebody gets shot, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But there are people behind every story. And I just want to know a little bit about the people since you knew them.
Yeah. If I could do one quick story here. I don't think it's a bad story to tell about Melissa Horkman. I know when I was at her table, for a charity event, I'll just simply say anybody out there would be proud to know she could hold her liquor well. I mean, I don't mean that in a bad sense, but she was the kind of person that you could have a couple of drinks with and had just really nice conversation. Again, John, there's a coffee shop near where I teach. We'd get together and, talk about, who knows, whatever. Could have been politics, could have been about how lousy our sports teams are, whatever it may be or something like that. So these are real people, real faces, that again, we see in the news and it's like, okay, another victim, but it's important to understand, you know, real people with children, family who were lost. I mean, John Hoffman, the story is amazing now that, especially his wife, they have an adult daughter, you know, with spina bifida, you know, which is a pretty serious, back problem like that. And when the shooter came in, she threw her body on her daughter to protect her. I mean, I think that's something like probably any parent would do. And so, you know, so for those people listening out there, again, these are real people, real emotions, you know, get up in the morning, go to work kind of people.
So when you first heard of this, I just want to go into your brain here because you knew the people involved and you are in Minnesota. What did your brain go to? Because I found out about it after it happened. And my introduction was from a friend of mine that was saying that, of all things, the governor had blood on his hands, Tim Walz, because he appointed this guy, the shooter, to some obscure housing board, as I understand it. And I never did quite get the connection there, especially since Tim Walz is as liberal as you can get, and these legislators were liberal, so I didn't quite understand the connection there. Tell me what your thoughts were when you first heard about this, and then subsequently as you saw how, I guess, social media and other people began to respond to this, how that matched up or didn't match up.
Well, first off, you know, your first thought is it can't happen here. I mean, this is the first situation in the entire history of Minnesota that we've had political assassination, and that's what we have to call it here, because the shooter was politically motivated, targeted Democrats and people who were pro-choice, supporting reproductive rights. And you know, when I first heard it, I was just thinking that, God, you know, these are people that I know that I talk with, you know. And I will tell you, the state was just stunned, and for the roughly 36 to 48 hours waiting to catch this guy, the state was just antsy. I mean, you have basically a killer on the loose. He apparently had a huge list of names of people he wanted to target, and one of the stories that came out last night is that he actually went to two other state legislators' houses first, didn't find them home or not available, and went elsewhere. So you're kind of thinking, wow, I mean, this is bizarre. I mean, really, really a bizarre story in terms of, you know, how it unfolded. Now, in terms of his relationship to Walz, almost none. Okay, so what happens is that there's all these advisory boards in the state of Minnesota, advisory boards ranging from I don't know, for people with disabilities to et cetera, and one of these is a workforce advisory board, and every month, as required by state law, the Secretary of State advertises and says, here's a whole bunch of openings in all these different advisory boards. Any Minnesotan is invited to apply for it. People apply for it. And if I were to say the governor, and we had a tradition going back to our Republican governors, et cetera, that these advisory boards, it's whoever applies to it, so long as, you know, as long as they know, at least at the time, they're not crazy people or something, generally get appointed to them. And so the governor's role, if I can kind of call it, is kind of what, perfunctory or formal, you know, that someone applies, Secretary of State says this person is qualified, but like that, governor appoints. And so workforce advisory was advising, this the panel he was on, was advising government agencies on how to improve workforce training, you know, get people, you know, help people get jobs, et cetera, et cetera. He doesn't preside over any of those committees. And so I don't want to say this, is that the governor's connection with him is a signature at best. If you know what I'm getting at here, in terms of
that's what I didn't understand, David, from the beginning. Yeah. Is, you know, I try to look at, okay, well, if you're going to say this one's on this side or that one's on that side, but it would seem as though you can't tie Tim Walz to this and then have this a political assassination where he killed liberal people, because that seems to me not, the argument collapses on itself.
Yeah. And I was also going to say is that we've got a pretty good tradition in this state. Again, I mean, even former Republican Governor Tim Pawlenty mentioned this the other day, I think in some interview, and said, a lot of our commissions also have requirements to appoint people of different political parties. Like they'll say X number of Democrats, X number of Republicans, X number of independents. And so in many cases, governors is required, you know, by law to say, all right, if you identify as a Republican, you know, you go and, you know, you get to qualify for this slot, et cetera, et cetera. That's why I call it kind of, you know, perfunctory or rote or formal, because, I mean, if you think about it, how much time do you think the governor really spends in the course of a day thinking about who's going to be on these advisory panels? I mean,
somebody texted in, so you're saying we appoint people and don't even know who they are or their qualifications? Absolutely. It happens every day. If you think President Trump is closely involved with every person that's appointed to every board, it goes through a filtering process and gatekeepers. It gets to him, it gets to him, it gets to him, and then finally gets to the president. They say, here's your three best choices, and he picks one. So, yeah, there are people constantly appointed in government every day to positions, and the people that are appointing them or signing off on it, they don't really know who they are. They trust on the people. They trust the people beneath them. But even with that being said, what strikes me about this is that, again, with every shooting, political, whatever, you can make whatever case you want depending on what your frame of reference is. You could say, why'd this guy have a gun? If you're against guns, you could say, you could make it about political rhetoric if you want. You could make it about ideology if you want. It all depends where you're coming from, when in fact this guy's a nut job that killed some innocent people. 6:22, more when we come back. Traffic now, WWL. 6:27 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend David Schultz, a professor of political science at Hamline University. He knows personally the victims of the shooter over the weekend. And David, it seems like whenever something like this happens, you can go to whatever frame of reference you want and build your case from there, whether it's political rhetoric, whether it's mental health, whether it's guns, whether it's personal info available on the internet. When it comes to this case, I guess in Minnesota or the nation, what are you seeing? Who's winning this part of it in terms of their personal viewpoint and their argument about what this is indicative of?
Boy, I think it's a draw at this point, because if we know something about the shooter, I mean, he targeted all Democrats. He targeted people who had voted in favor of abortion rights. Among the other people listed in terms of possible victims on his manifesto were doctors who perform abortions. And his friends say he supported Donald Trump in the election. So if you want to go in one direction and say, well, the facts appear to be saying he's coming from the right. I'm seeing people like Mike Lee, I think it was the Utah, you know, senator, who seems to be sort of pushing conspiracy on the other level. You know, regardless of whatever, you know, I'll say, regardless of whatever Donald Trump or anybody say here, people are responsible for their own actions. I mean, I taught criminal justice for many years. At the end of the day, we're supposed to be responsible for our own actions. Here's a guy who made choices. He made choices to go out there to buy guns. He made a choice to try to dress as a police officer, doctor up his car, et cetera, et cetera. I want to argue and say it has almost nothing to do with politics. It's about the fact that what? Somebody broke the law, killed two people, attempted to kill two others, stalked people. Why can't we just call it as that? I mean, that should be what the case is about. And it should be everybody across the country, again, who should be saying at this point, people who murder people should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law and held responsible for their actions.
And look, I'm a gun guy, but you know there's a time where this would have been viewed as, why did this guy have a gun? And that's not in the conversation anymore.
It is not in this conversation, but it raises interesting questions, because here's a person who was involved in security services, who was able to masquerade as a police officer. And maybe we should be asking, you know, some questions about guns, you know, but we should also be asking questions about how easy is it to be able to, you know, to masquerade as others and do the kind of things he did. Now, I want to do at least one other shout out here, which is a good one, is that when the first shootings happened over at Hoffman's house, there was a police officer there who had an intuition and said, you know, Melissa Horbin, the former speaker, doesn't live far from here. Maybe we need to go over there and check or something like that. Now, unfortunately, not able to save her and her husband. But I don't know about you. That's good policing. That's somebody who it's great policing. And I got to give credit to that guy for doing the best he could.
Thank you, David. Appreciate your time. 6:30. We'll come back and talk to Pat Connick about a bill he's passed about grooming. Pedophiles grooming kids. Right now, time for WWL First News. 6:44, 16 till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by our friend Pat Connick, state senator, who Got a bill to criminalize grooming through the legislative session, and with Pat, this is personal. Hey, Pat, how you doing?
Hey, Tommy, doing great.
Tell me about the bill and about your story, if you will, and what led to all of this.
Child sexual abuse is a terrible crime that affects a victim, you know, for a lifetime. It never goes away, and we needed something. We need to do whatever it took to try to stop it. And the Senate Bill 58 was passed this year to do something about that problem. So, and it's, you know, basically we made a crime of grooming. We put in a statute involving indecent behavior with a juvenile. You know, it's a step in the right direction to protect the children.
Your son-in-law was involved with this, right?
Yeah, my son-in-law was a victim. He is a victim. And it's, you know, and my daughter deals, you know, with it. It doesn't go away. It's a tough, tough issue, but I got to give him credit for stepping up. And he's a hero in my book for stepping up and telling his story. And because of that, you know, it got to my attention, got to my daughter's attention, and we went to Baton Rouge and got this bill passed. And I want to thank the district attorneys and my brother's office in Jefferson Parish. There's a DA, President Christine Russell from LaFouche Parish, Zach Daniels, all these guys with the DA's offices around the state worked together very hard to draft this legislation that criminalizes grooming. So it's a good thing for Louisiana. We're one of 13 states that have this bill now, this law now. So.
Yeah, I want to ask a little bit more of the details of it, Pat, because it says here that your son-in-law and his wife couldn't believe that the authorities essentially had to wait until molestation occurred before they intervened. Talk about what your bill changes, please, about what the law changes.
Here's the difficulty was, you know, how do you charge someone with a crime when they have not actually physically harmed the child? So the language that we came up with is that grooming, I'm going to read it from the law, shall mean the pursuit of an intimate relationship with a child under the age of 17 by means of seduction, emotional manipulation, threats, promises, coercion, isolation, extortion, with the specific intent to commit a sex offense as defined against the minor. And that was not in the law, so you had these individuals texting young children about, you know, sexual in nature, and you couldn't charge them with that. Now you can, and you can prevent the harm from occurring further if they are on that road to try to, you know, groom the child into sexual behavior with them. So we have that law in Louisiana now, which is a good thing.
Somebody text it in, and this is what I'm having a hard time with. So as it stands now, or as it stood before your law passed, somebody could have, like, sent sexually explicit messages to a child I hate to say flirted, but attempted to groom them, and it was not illegal?
Correct. And if you read the article by Ramon Vargas with the Guardian, and I think I sent it to you. I don't know if you can post that on your site. But, you know, this is the quote from my son-in-law. They could not believe that authorities essentially had to wait until molestation occurred before they intervened. If a grooming law had been in place, Watney, who was the priest at the time, may have been prosecuted for inappropriate text detected in 2020, and he would have been punished then and stopped. But that law was not; they couldn't charge him because we didn't have the law. Now they can charge him if that occurs and get him off the streets.
Do you think, you know, this 2025 and you just passed this law and apparently it was necessary, do you think that the church, Catholic Church here, its diocese, however you want to look at it, is getting a handle on this or not, Pat? I know you have firsthand experience with your son-in-law and this Pat Watney, however you say his name, New Orleans area priest, tried to get out on parole, said he promised the archbishop that he wouldn't do it again. Your son-in-law said, no, don't let him out. And his parole was denied. Do you know where the church stood on this guy wanting to get out or not? Or did the archdiocese get involved in this?
I think nobody wants this guy to get out except him and a few of his friends, you know. But, you know, I'm a strong Catholic faith. I have two uncles that were priests. I grew up Catholic, and I'm proud of that, and I remain Catholic. I will not let a sick individual who use the Catholic Church to to pray in children to cause me to lose my faith. I just want to say that. But I don't think the church, you know, this is just a message to everyone out there, the church, everybody, that this is unacceptable with the new technology that's out there with texting and all this other stuff. That this law is developed into this to this point that's going to protect our children.
And I guess, you and I look at it a little bit differently, I guess, but I understand it was some sick individuals that hijacked the church. There is a problem, just to be fair, with the way the individuals that perhaps were not sick handled it with the hierarchy of the church. That's what I have a problem with, and I don't want to engage in that argument at all. But let me take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the chances of a special session happening and some of the other stuff that happened during the legislative session. Pat Connick's our guest. Senator Pat Connick passed an anti-grooming bill. Thank goodness for that. And I guess, Pat, part of it now is the education of letting kids know that if something happens, you need to come forward.
Well, it's how do you answer that? I think the part now is to let the enforcement, the police officers and those who arrest these guys know that this law is out there. They can be used against them to, you know, get them off the street.
Mm-hmm. So they don't do it in the first place. And then after that, I guess you would think there'd be some kind of education to say if anybody approaches you this way.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You need to turn them in.
That's why we're on the radio. If any parents, you know, see something like this happening to their children, call the police, and they'll be arrested, whoever's doing it, doing this type of activity. So,
gotcha. That's another concern, too, about the parents being involved.
The parents need to be involved.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, Pat, hang on. We'll pick it up when we come back. 652, 8 till 7. Traffic now, WWL. 6:57 and a half. Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by our friend Senator Pat Connick about his bill that would have that makes grooming illegal. It goes into effect August 1st. Pat, is that it?
It's already, I think, upon the signature of the governor, so it's done.
Okay. So it is in. It takes effect immediately.
Yes, I think it's law now.
Okay. This all started with a text from your daughter.
Yeah, you know, my son-in-law was groomed by a priest when he, in the 1990s, and he held this, what happened to him inside for years. And then when it all came out, we found out that, you know, grooming wasn't a crime. My daughter sent me a text right before the session that day, can we make grooming a crime in Louisiana? And so within 2 days after I got that text from my daughter, I filed a bill. So I'm going to do whatever it takes to protect my son-in-law, my daughter, and my grandchildren, and your grandchildren. So that's what brought it all about. So I got to give, praise to my daughter and her husband about bringing this issue to light. And because of that, we made a good change. And Raymond Vargas with The Guardian did a great story on it. It tells the whole picture.
Real quick, before we let you go, Governor's talking about maybe a special session. I'm going to talk to a guy from a pharmacist, a majority of drugs, about pharmacy benefit managers. Any thoughts on that, Pat? What's going to happen?
I don't think a special session is needed. We're going to address this issue. Those pharmacy benefit managers are making billions of dollars. They're not passing on the savings to us, the consumer. They're squeezing out these independent pharmacies, the mom-and-pop shops. You got the CVS's and the Walgreens making, all the money. This is really something that we take it serious up in Baton Rouge, but we need to get the data before we act. And I think that was the message from the Senate to the governor. Said, give us the information. Let us get the information, and let's make decisions based on facts instead of just, somebody saying something.
Thank you, Pat. Appreciate your time. We'll take a break. Come back. We're going to talk LSU baseball when we return on WWL. 7:13, call it. Rain chance for showers today, just like every summertime day. And I'm watching a game last night, and they showed the shot of, I don't know what point it was, of the overhead clouds. And it was like some layered gray clouds. Little did I know it would portend what it is that turned out to be with the LSU-UCLA game. And with that, we welcome in Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. How you doing, Jeff?
I am doing well, Tommy. How about yourself?
I'm okay. I wish we'd have gotten this game in last night, yeah, and LSU had won and moved on, because it gets – first of all, let's recap what happened last night so far up until the fourth inning, where we stand now.
Well, LSU's leading 5-3. They got off to a rough start last night. Anthony Ianson gives up 3 runs in the first inning. He wasn't hit particularly hard. I mean, there was one ball that was hit pretty well out into left field, but you had a – couple infield singles there. You had another basically a grounder that found a hole through the left side of the infield. And UCLA, what is their strength, especially offensively, is they just put the bat on the ball. They don't strike out a ton, and they made some contact on Ianson, and they were able to score 3 runs. But give a lot of credit to LSU for responding. The Jared Jones 3-run home run had, I would imagine, LSU fans jumping up and down. That was a big, big blast from Jared Jones. They needed to respond because, let's face it, it's just hard to score runs in Omaha. Not only is the ballpark spacious, but the pitching is really good. And for them to respond the way they did, I mean, it's just an outstanding first inning there to score 4 runs, a true mark of a championship team to respond the way that they did. And considering Jared Jones had struck out 5 times in his 5 at-bats on Saturday, it was pretty impressive. And then, Ianson settled in. Luis Hernandez gets an RBI single, and then here comes the thunderstorms. And it was pretty – I know it was kind of weird, because even the TV broadcast, and really nobody was mentioning the fact that rain was on the way. Maybe they were thinking, if we don't talk about it, it won't happen. But it was pretty clear at about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, even a little earlier than that, because they had issued a severe thunderstorm watch for the Omaha area until 10 o'clock. It actually got extended till midnight. But it was pretty clear about an hour, hour and a half before game time, that they were going to hit some weather at about 8 o'clock. And it actually came a little bit earlier. And it begs the question, if this game was played in Baton Rouge and where Jay Johnson has a little bit more of a say of things, would this game even have started? I think that's a question to be asked, and we'll never get the answer as far as the conversations that are made or discussed or what happens. But I would imagine, you know, ESPN has a big say on what happens at this point. And ESPN says, look, it's 6 o'clock, it's dry, let's play. And so that's probably what ended up happening. And now here you are. You're not going to bring back Anthony Ianson today. So you got to figure out the final six innings here with somebody else or multiple pitchers. But LSU does have the lead 5-3.
So what does LSU do pitching now-wise?
Well, there's options. There's no doubt about that. I think if you're Jay Johnson, and this is how he approaches every game, he approaches that game to win it. So you can't sit there and say, well, maybe I'll start this guy because in case we lose, we may need this guy for tonight. Because the loser of today's game has to play again tonight against Arkansas. The way Jay Johnson approaches things, and I'm sure this is the way he looks at it, I have a 2-run lead now. I need to get through these final six innings. Let's win this game so we don't have to play again until Wednesday night. Let's stay in the winner's bracket. So in my mind, the approach there would be to go with Cason Evans. Now, UCLA has, I think, six left-handed batters in the lineup. Going with a guy like Cooper Williams for a couple innings might not be a bad idea either. So to me, I think it's between those two guys. Maybe Zach Cowan, but Cowan has not been as sharp. Again, I think you're going into this here, throwing everything you got at it to win this game, to avoid having to play again tonight and then have to play again tomorrow night and then Thursday night in order to get to the championship series. So Cason Evans is your best arm available right now. You might as well use him, and he can give you length too. He could go out there and mow down UCLA and get you through the rest of this game without having to use any more pitchers.
Yeah, it would seem like you got to win here. And then talk about, if you would, the complexity with the weather and what's expected this afternoon and what the other games that are scheduled and what that could lead to with LSU.
Well, there's more. There's a pretty good chance for some more showers and thunderstorms today. So this is what's going to happen. Obviously, LSU and UCLA will resume at 10 a.m. The plan is to play the Oregon State-Louisville game at 1 or 1 hour after the conclusion of the LSU-UCLA game. So you're figuring right now LSU-UCLA will take at least 2 hours to play. So you know, they might be pushing it to start that other game at 1. And then, of course, if the Louisville, if everything gets backed up and there's more delays, you know, whoever plays tonight against Arkansas, right now it's scheduled for 6 o'clock, but that game could get pushed back. Now the next few days look pretty dry in Omaha looking at the forecast, but today, again, could be a situation where you get some more severe weather moving through there. And, you know, these things just, as we saw last night, it's not that they move through in 20 minutes and then the sun's back out. Sometimes these Midwest storms, they can linger a little bit, and that's exactly what happened last night.
It's not a mess. It'll do until one gets here. We'll talk about Ianson pitching and when he would be available again. If they lose today, it's just going to be a mess. It's just going to be a mess. Jeff Palermo, our guest, up at WL.com, columnist, Louisiana Network News Director, pregame at 9:30 here on WWL, so we'll leave a little bit early. Most of Newell's shows could be eaten up by the game as they continue the game with UCLA, top of the fourth, UCLA at bat. And who's going to have the ball, Jeff, for LSU?
Well, yeah, UCLA will be up at the plate, but we don't know exactly who LSU will pitch. And okay. I'm not sure exactly the timing of when we'll find it out, maybe within an hour of the first pitch, but it might even be even later than that. It's not like where you have to give out your starting lineup. LSU can really, we'll find out when somebody probably walks out to the bullpen. That'll be the best idea on who will, that's when we'll certainly know who will be the guy.
So the weather for the game to finish with UCLA, to finish the game with UCLA, that's good?
It looks like it's pretty good. I think more of the showers and thunderstorm possibility erupts in the afternoon, late afternoon, even into early tonight as well.
All right, we'll take a break, pick it up with Jeff Palermo when we come back. 721 traffic now, WWL. 726, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. The LSU will resume their game against UCLA in a little bit more than 2 hours here at, well, 2.5 hours. The pregame starts at 9:30. Jeff, when it comes to Jared Jones, I know he had a tough time against Arkansas, and I was fooling around with the dog last night and watching the game, and I thought I saw something about Jay Johnson working with him. Is that what they were saying or not?
Yeah, there was yesterday they worked out, not yesterday, that would have been Sunday, right? Yeah, Sunday with LSU during their off day, they worked out at the University of Omaha. And then I had to work out there, and there was video of Jay Johnson sitting in the batting cage with Jared Jones, and the two were just talking, and it was obviously really a frustrating game on Saturday night to watch Jared Jones go 0 for 5 and 5 strikeouts. So some extra batting practice for Jared Jones, Jay Johnson talking with him. Sitting down with him and going over whether a technique, approach, whatever it may be, mindset. And it seemed like it paid off because on the pitch that he hit out, he just waited back on it, and he didn't try to pull it. He just – when you're struggling, what you want to do as a hitter, you want to either hit it to center, and if you're a right-handed hitter, you want to hit it to center or right center field. You want the ball to come in a little bit to you, and so you're not trying to yank it out of the ballpark. And that's exactly what he did. He kind of waited on it and put a really good swing on it. And with the wind blowing in, I didn't know if it had enough distance to get over, and he hit it high too. But the wind didn't matter. It still got over the fence, and it was a really an uplifting moment for the LSU fan base and the LSU baseball team. They really needed Jared Jones to step in at that time, and that's what you see from power hitters even in the major leagues. They could go 0 for 4, 0 for 5, 3 strikeouts one game, and then the next game they hit you a 3-run homer, and that's what they're supposed to do.
But I think it goes to Tommy.
I think it goes
to Jay Johnson because it's kind of like golf where it gets a little bit off, it gets a little bit away from you, a little bit more, and yeah. Before you know it, you're in a rut, and that's why it takes a trained eye to fix it, right?
Well, I think one of the best things about Jay Johnson is that he is very confident in his players, and he constantly talks them up. I mean, Jared Jones can go 0 for 15 with 14 strikeouts, and he would tell you, look, he's had a good season. He's one of the best power hitters in college baseball. He's my guy. Yeah, I might not bat him second in the lineup all the time. Maybe I drop him in the order just to take a little bit of the pressure off of him, or maybe he'll see some different type of pitches if he's batting lower in the order. But he has the ultimate belief in his guys, and I think that really carries over to how his players play.
Real quick, when would Ianson be available again?
So he threw 44 pitches last night. LSU, if they win tonight, they'll play Wednesday. I don't know if he'd be ready Wednesday. He'd be ready probably to pitch out of the bullpen at that point, maybe. Mm-hmm. But if they ended up getting extended to Thursday, I think you would see Ianson again starting.
It's hard to say must win. I understand everything's a must win, but this really is. It's important that LSU close this game out today.
Especially the fact that you got a 2-run lead. You would hate to see this one slip away. It would be tough to recover from.
Yep, I hope not. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. We'll have the action for you here. About 2 hours from now, 9:30, pregame starts, first pitch, 10 o'clock. Well, the first pitch of the fourth inning at 10 o'clock. We'll talk about some obscure election. We come back right now in time for WWL First News. All right, 7:43, 17 till 8. Lily Cummings joins us now, WWL Louisiana reporter, to talk about an election that happened over the weekend that we tried to look into and got nowhere. Hey, Lily, how are you?
Hey, Tommy, I'm great. How are you?
I'm okay. Tell me what's going to happen with you. We always like to watch people advance and grow in their careers. Tell me what's going on with you at Channel 4. I saw something on Twitter.
Yeah, I am being promoted to our weekend morning anchor spot. So my schedule...
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
So switching from nights to mornings. So, yeah, I'm excited.
And what time do you have to get up in the morning to do that?
Oh, on the weekends, I think probably maybe 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm. It's going to come to your social life a little bit. I don't want to tell you. Hey, let's talk about this soil and conservation district, because I'd never heard about it. There were some questions before the election. We tried to look into it, got nowhere, and then after the election, Helena Moreno said there were some problems. Tell me what we know about this soil and water conservation district. What is it? Do the positions pay? What were you able to find out about this?
Well, first and foremost, we learned, like many people, like yourself, we didn't know exactly what it was either. This is not an election that's run by the Secretary of State, like, you know, typical elections are. But I think first and foremost, what we saw during this, Tommy, was that the power of social media is great. There was a guy who made a video about this election. It got tens of thousands of views, and it really encouraged people to get out and vote. So you had people really excited about coming out. But once they got to the polls on Saturday, a lot of people weren't able to vote. They were running out of ballots. So the district, the Soil and Water Conservation District that oversees our area, says, well, we followed all of the rules set by the board by placing so many paper ballots at 8 different polling locations across our area. So they, when I spoke to them on Sunday when I was doing the story, said, look, we followed all the rules. We're not going to do a redo, even though, like you said, Councilwoman Helena Moreno was asking for a redo because there were so many people who felt like, well, we didn't get to vote. We didn't get to, you know, let our voices be heard in this election. But I think it's important for people to know that they still need to certify these election results, and that is going to be done by the State Soil and Water Conservation Board, and we believe that that's happening today. They meet on the third Tuesday of every month. So it's going to be interesting to see if they certify these election results or not.
I got so many questions. There were paper ballots left unsupervised where people could just take it and vote if they wanted. Is that what you're saying?
No. So once they ran out of paper ballots, they essentially just left a sign on the polling location saying, hey, you know, we ran out of ballots. Sorry. You know, leave your name and address. So a lot of people didn't get to vote at all. They had a set amount of ballots at each polling location, and they ran out very quickly.
So what does this organization do exactly? Do you know?
So what we've learned from looking into this story, because to be completely honest with you, I had never heard of it myself before we started digging into this, they work with landowners to provide resources on conservation efforts, on just sustainability in general. And so this specific seat, the woman who held it, the incumbent Erica Johnson, she was appointed to her position in 2022. So when I reached out to the district and said, you know, what would you like to say about kind of all the issues that people experienced during this election on Saturday, they said, well, first and foremost, we've never even had an election before, because in the decades that this board has existed, they've never had to hold an election. Everyone's either been appointed. I know Erica told me that at one point, you know, a spouse passed away and then the other spouse was just took the spot of that person. So they've never had anyone challenge one of the board seats until now. So that is what happened on Saturday. And obviously, we'll see moving forward if the state Conservation Soil and Water Board decides, hey, maybe we need to look at how we run these elections and how these rules and guidelines are set. Because I think that they may need to look into that. They've obviously gotten a lot of press, and I think they'll maybe make some changes in the future. We'll see.
Do we know if there's a paid position, this whatever it is, a seat on the Crescent Soil and Water Conservation District?
That I'm not entirely sure, Tommy. I would have to look into that a little bit more.
Because I'm just, you know, it just seemed like something, I don't know, something was amiss here. It just seemed like the whole thing was happening in secrecy. And then when the way the election was conducted begged even more questions. Do you know what they do with the Crescent Soil Water Conservation District, exactly what they're charged with doing?
So essentially, it's very, very local. So if any landowner comes to them and says, you know, I need help with resources as far as conservation, or I'm, you know, got something that I want to do on my land as far as farming and things like that, they can help them with that. But I think that I don't know. It's very interesting to learn about it. And I think folks should maybe visit the State Soil and Water Conservation website, because that explains a lot about it. And then you can kind of see a map of each district, because there's 44 across the state.
So what happens from here?
So from here, I believe today, it being Tuesday, this should be the day that the state board, the Soil and Water Board, meets, and they will be charged with certifying these election results or not. When we reached out to the state to see if they would be certifying it, that wasn't exactly clear. They just said, we know that their meeting is coming up soon, and I guess we'll see if they certify them or not. When I spoke to the local district, the Crescent Soil and Water Conservation District, they told me, look, it's not going to make a difference. We counted the votes and we just felt like Erica Johnson won by landslide. So they didn't feel like there was a need for a redo. But I just think a lot of people at the end of the day felt like their voices weren't heard. So regardless of who you're voting for, I think people wanted to participate in this election and they just didn't get the chance.
So there are 44 of these things, these soil and water conservation districts and areas?
Across the state, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is the Crescent that we're talking about here, number
26,
right?
Yes, and so that's Orleans, Jefferson, St. Charles, and St. John, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Lily. It's a mystery, but maybe if you find out more, we'd love to hear from you. Congratulations on your promotion. Lily Cummings, WWL Louisiana reporter, 751, 9 till 8, traffic now, WWL. All righty, we were talking about pharmacy benefit managers last week, and then the session ended. Then the governor said maybe he'll call people back, and then we don't know a lot about pharmacy benefit managers. So Al Spitali joins us now, pharmacist at Majoria Drugs. How you doing, Al?
Fine. Good morning.
I don't even know where to start with this. I don't know if you want to take us from when you get a prescription filled, what happens? You know how to explain this better than I do, sir, so the floor is yours.
Here's the basic situation. Okay. Many of the independent pharmacies, in fact, all the independent pharmacies out there are suffering right now because of the unfair business practices of CVS and their owned pharmacy benefit manager program.
That seems like monopoly stuff to me. If you're going to own the drugstore and a pharmacy benefit manager, how in the world can Majoria's or any independent mom and pop drugstore compete with that?
Well, they cannot compete with it. People are being forced to go to CVS because CVS owns a pharmacy benefit manager. They dictate to the customer where they have to go get their prescription filled. And what happens is, they can actually, some of them allow them to actually come to an independent pharmacy, which you can only get maybe a 30-day supply or an emergency prescription for an antibiotic or something like that, and you will pay a copay for it. Whereas if you go to CVS, you may get a 90-day supply and pay zero for it. So it's a no-brainer that someone who can get a zero copay on a medication and they're going to go to CVS. They're not going to come to Majoria Drugs. Although I do have a number of people who would rather pay the $10 than put up with the CVS lack of service.
Well, let me say a couple of things. First of all, I know a CVS pharmacist that's a friend, and I'm not taking up for CVS at all, but I think a lot of times they are understaffed, and I think a lot of people take it out on them when they're just working for CVS, and I think it's the management, not necessarily the pharmacist.
This is not a hit against the pharmacist or the technicians at those drugstores. Those people are working, trying to do the best they can with what they're given, and unfortunately, generally are not given enough help. And the famous expression that people tell me about CVS is, "You can get in, but you can't get out."
Yeah,
Go ahead.
I found that to be the case as well, Al. But let me ask you this, because this one thing confused me. I know CVS is a pharmacy benefit manager, and their company is what? What is the name of the CVS?
Caremark.
But my insurance is with OptumRx. I guess that's the insurance company, or is that a pharmacy benefit manager?
That's a pharmacy benefit manager.
Okay, well, this makes me think about collusion, because OptumRx, if I don't get my prescription filled through them, then I have to go to CVS in order for it to be covered. And that, to me, that seems like that's even more than a monopoly. That borders on collusion between monopolies. Am I wrong?
Right, and they've taken away your freedom of choice, and that's what you should have. People should be allowed to go wherever they want to go. Now, what they have to do, they passed, I think, Bill 264 states that they have to allow the customer to go to another drugstore. But the problem comes in there with what I mentioned before involving the copays. Mm-hmm. If they don't level the field with the copays, that's not going to come into effect at all. It's not going to affect anyone, because in these economic times, people are going to go for the zero copay rather than the $10 or $20 that they have to pay us.
Let me go back to pharmacy prescription drug pricing, if I can. So we get a prescription. I'm just going from my angle, all right? And you're a pharmacist.
Sure.
So I get a prescription from the doctor, and my insurance company, UMR, I think it is, says I got to go through OptumRx. OptumRx tells me I got to go through them or CVS if it's an emergency. it has to be, if I remember correctly, some kind of terrible, dire emergency to either go through a different pharmacy or it's not even covered if I do go to a different pharmacy. So from your standpoint, in terms of what you pay for drugs and what CVS pays for drugs through their pharmacy benefit manager company, Caremark, how does that work?
Well, the best of my knowledge, the PBMs are middlemen, so they negotiate prices on the drugs. Now, here's what I don't understand. You know, if I buy something from my wholesaler, and we deal with several of the largest wholesalers in the country, and I pay $100 for an item. Now, when I process a prescription for you, the PBM decides they're only going to pay me $95 for it, which happens all day long, especially on these high-ticket items, these drugs that are $400 and $500 a month. A lot of times I'm short at $10, $15, $20 on the prescription. So if they short us that kind of money, supposedly they are getting, the PBM is getting a discount somewhere, and they're holding back the discount rather than allowing that discount to go towards the patient, paying the pharmacies a little bit more to fill the prescription and that type of thing. So that's what's going on. They're greedy, they're holding back on all of the incentives that they get. Some of the insurance companies will only allow you to fill a brand name for a specific product rather than a generic. And probably 90% of the drugs that we fill are generic. But when that happens, what happens is that the PBMs are getting kickbacks from the brand name companies, and they're holding back on that money.
So, again, let me go back for a second, Al. You have to deal with a PBM, a pharmacy benefit manager, to get drugs.
We go through our wholesaler. Wholesaler is a separate entity from the PBMs. PBMs are a middleman between the wholesaler and the pharmacies.
But you don't go through a PBM because you're an independent pharmacy.
Well, no. PBMs only handle the prescription claims. So we don't actually go through them to purchase drugs. Nobody purchases drugs through a PBM. They're all purchased from a wholesaler. Then the PBM decides what the reimbursement is going to be to the individual pharmacy.
All right. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We'll come back because my head's spinning a little bit, Al.
Okay.
Let's take a case study. And I get prescribed a bottle of X. Okay. Well, that's a bad letter to use, but bottle of W. Okay. The drug W. And from there, I go to you, and then we'll take it from there about how you get this W to give to me to fill a prescription, if I have a choice of going to you based on my insurance company or pharmacy benefit manager, correct?
Right. Well, what I'm going to do, first of all, I'm going to order.
Wait, let me do traffic. We'll pick it up. We come back, Al, because I'm got to try to get my head deglazed here. You deal with it every day, but I think for most of us, it's very, very confusing. Talking to Al Spitali, a pharmacist at Majoria Drugs, I think. And Al, real quick, I'll bring you back here. I think what CVS was doing is playing hardball with the legislature, saying, well, if you give us a choice of either being a drugstore or a PBM, we're going to be the PBM and just shut down drugstores. Is that what they did?
That's what they did. That's what they're trying to do. They're threatening everyone that you will not have a drugstore to go to.
That's what I thought it was. All right, we'll take a break, pick it up. We come back. Traffic now, WWL. 8:26 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Al Spitali, a pharmacist at Majoria Drugs, trying to understand pharmacy benefit managers and the way they work. Al, let me take you through a case study. I go to a doctor. The doctor says, Tommy, you got blah, 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 blah. I'm going to give you a prescribed W to you. So I take the prescription for W. I guess it depends on what my insurance company allows me to do or my pharmacy benefit manager allows me to do. I have UMR and Optum, so I would have to go to Optum or CVS. That's the only choice they give me. If somebody comes to you with the prescription for W, tell me how you handle it.
Well, first of all, we would try and fill the prescription. You would give me your card. We would process that with that information, and it will come back either covered or not covered. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, if it comes back not covered, it will tell me, your drugstore not enrolled in this plan. So we do a little further investigation, and we will determine that this patient is locked into either CVS or using Optum Rx, which I believe Optum Rx is also a big mail order house.
They are.
So they would tell us that you're not eligible to use our drugstore, period. We're not in that network.
So at that point, I have the option to get the prescription filled, but I'm just going to pay for it out of pocket, right?
You would have to pay for it out of pocket at that point. Yes.
All right. So then when it comes to the drug W, you're getting it from where? How do you get it? How does
I'm getting it from, we deal with two of the largest wholesalers in the country, McKesson and Cardinal.
Okay.
Okay. And, those are the largest drug wholesalers in the country. We get it from...
McKesson and who?
Cardinal.
Cardinal. Okay. So who do McKesson and Cardinal deal with?
They deal with it directly from the manufacturer.
Okay, so you don't fool with the pharmacy benefit manager at all?
No, they strictly dictate to us what we're going to get paid for a prescription. We have no direct interaction with a PBM.
If they cover it at all through you, the pharmacy benefit manager, that's based on the contractual arrangement between the patient and their insurance company, who is linked with a pharmacy benefit manager most of all. I don't know how many insurance companies they have.
Yeah, it's all intertwined. They're all, the benefit manager, pharmacy benefit manager is tied in with the drugstore, or CVS Pharmacy, CVS Caremark. Okay. They are owned by, they're co-owned. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what happens is they direct the business to their stores, obviously, and they do give the patients a better copay. So they lock us out. And what happens is we get paid a lot less for a prescription. As I mentioned, we pay $100, we may get paid $95. Where the CVS pays it, they're going to get a lot more. They're going to get reimbursed at least the cost of their drug plus more, because they are favored by their owner, which is Caremark CVS.
So does a pharmacy benefit manager, are they in the drug business as well, like OptumRx, as well as negotiating drug prices?
They're supposed to negotiate the best drug prices for the consumer, but the consumer doesn't really see that, because all the consumer sees is a copay. Okay?
Here's what I'm asking about Optum, and you're going to have to come back, because it seems like OptumRx is supposed to be negotiating the prices. If they're a pharmacy benefit manager, how do they get to being the pharmacy warehouse then, where they distribute the drugs?
OptumRx is not a pharmacy warehouse. The only warehouses are the drug distributors, which are
McKesson.
Cardinal. And McKesson.
Then
and there are a number of other.
How do I get a prescription from OptumRx then? How do they mail it to me?
OptumRx purchases it from McKesson or Cardinal or another. There are a lot of wholesalers around the country. They may not even deal with McKesson, or they may deal directly with the manufacturer.
I got to have you come back, Al, because this could take an hour, and
it gets very confusing, okay? It gets very confusing, and I don't know that I have all the answers, because we're only fed a certain amount of information. But the bottom line is that the Caremark CVS, CVS Caremark, is directing all of their patients to go to CVS, where they are given a preferred copay. They are not allowed to come to an independent pharmacy, and what they're doing is strategically and systematically putting the independent pharmacies out of business. There are quite a few pharmacies that are just hanging on. I know a lot of these guys. They are just hanging on. The reimbursements are way below what they pay. They're at a net loss every month. And this bill, even if they do pass Bill 258, it doesn't go into effect until January of 2027. And in the meantime, we're going to lose some independent pharmacies in Antrim.
Thank you, Al. I appreciate your time. I hope you come back. We'll talk to Eric Smith about gas prices when we come back. Right now, time for WWL First News. It is 8:48, 12:09. Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by our friend Eric Smith, professor at Tulane's Institute of Energy, who is a nice man and tolerates me and my silly questions sometimes. Not that I'm trying to be silly, but I'm just trying to understand the way it works. How you doing, professor?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. Let's talk about, first of all, you know, I was thinking in advance of your coming on, and my age is a closely kept secret, but maybe I did, maybe I didn't. Live through the oil shortage of the 70s, where you couldn't get gas. And if you were a teenager trying to date at that time and you couldn't get gas, that was a big deal. So maybe I'm not as concerned with the price of gas as I am the availability of it, as some people are, because they haven't lived through not having gas and having to go through gas rationing and shortages and that kind of thing. With all that being said, tell me what this whole thing with Iran could mean for oil and gas prices?
Well, I think it kind of echoes your experience. It's not price sensitive in our normal thinking. I mean, what the only estimate I've seen, someone said that if you were to close the Straits of Hormuz, which controls about a third of the oil traffic in the world for exported oil, if you were to close that, the price would jump from 72 to something like $120 a barrel, which sounds pretty bad unless you can't get it at all. And of course, we don't import a lot of oil from the Middle East, but the rest of the world does. And as I've said before, if you have a shortage anywhere in the world, the price of oil tends to climb for everybody, including the U.S. And we do import, as you know, heavy oil to be able to run our refineries here in Louisiana. So it could be bad, but I don't think we're going to run out of fuel. And if you were still dating and trying to keep body and soul together, you would still be able to buy fuel in Louisiana.
But you know, it is interesting if you think about it through that context. A lot of people don't understand, don't remember that, what it was like to not, no matter how much you wanted it, you couldn't get it. It was odd and even license plate numbers. You'd sit in line and then be no gas. It'd be 5 gallons here or there, the other thing. And I think people kind of forgot about that. You?
Yeah, I think so. I was living up in New York at the time and trying to keep a Porsche running, and it was not the easiest thing in the world because it only ran on, you know, high-octane gasoline. So I finally figured out a way to buy fuel down at the marine dock and run the car on that, but it wasn't easy.
So who controls the Strait of Hormuz right now?
Well, we do, kind of. We've got a whole fleet sitting right at the mouth of it, designed to keep anybody from closing it. Of course, the Iranians periodically threaten to close it. But we keep it open, not so much because we need the oil that comes out of the Middle East, but the rest of the world does, both Eastern and Western. And when you think about it, even people like Russia, who are not our friends these days, are dependent on oil moving out of the Middle East and their products moving into the Middle East. So to the degree that people can all agree on one thing, it's keep the Straits of Hormuz open.
And
so
the problem,
that's one of the things that's likely to be a flashpoint. And the other one on the other side is the Bab al-Mandab, which is the equivalent one on the Horn of Africa side. So again, it's a very narrow passage, and all of the oil that comes out of the western side of Saudi Arabia exits through that strait. So it's another flashpoint.
So I guess the question is, how concerned are you, or how concerned should Americans be about the availability, perhaps, but price of oil or gas going up, gasoline?
Well, I hearken back to what you said earlier. People are going to be upset, and particularly the president's going to be upset if oil prices start to escalate rapidly. He's a firm believer in the idea that low oil prices mean votes. And he's got his two-year, congressional elections coming up, so he's going to try and keep that as low as possible. I think the things to focus on are what the Israelis are doing and the responses by the Iranians, because I think that's where we have the potential for the most damage, if you will, to being incrementally drawn into something. Every one of our big wars didn't just spring up overnight. There were things that we were making adjustments what we thought were relatively minor changes, and some of these changes are pretty major, like whole task forces being sent to the Middle East and the Eastern Med. But, you know, there are some things that could trigger if we were to decide, for example, to release the so-called bunker buster bombs that the Israelis would like to use on the Iranian fuel enrichment facilities that are all underground. That would be considered an escalation by the Iranians, and they would do something about it, like shooting at one of our aircraft carriers or something. You could worry about things like there are something like 600,000 U.S. citizens that live in Israel. And you start killing off U.S. citizens or damaging American ships, people tend to get pretty emotional about that sort of thing.
So bottom line, before we let you go, scale of 1 to 10, how concerned are you of this escalating into something major?
If my normal course would be a 5, this is like raising things to a 7, but not to a 10.
Wow. Thank you, Professor. Appreciate it. Eric Smith, Professor of Tulane's Institute of Energy. I was looking for a 2, but I guess I'll let it go at 7. Traffic now, WWL. Everything's going pretty well. Bear hits a home run, LSU lead, and then the rains begin. Scott Rabelais joins us now, Time Speaking UN sports columnist. He's in Omaha. How you doing, Scott?
I'm a little sleepy, but otherwise okay.
Tell me, how's the weather? I guess we'll start there.
Yeah, it's still gray. There's no rain this morning, and it's not supposed to rain, but it's still overcast and pretty cool. So I would imagine air's kind of heavy too. I would imagine it'll be a little harder to get the ball out of the ballpark this morning, but hopefully the weather's going to hold off because it's a full day today. This game is a game at 1 o'clock, and then the loser of this game has to come back and play Arkansas at 6.
It's going to be a mess, from what they're telling me with the weather and what's forecast with for later on today in Omaha. I don't know how familiar you are with it, but they're calling for, I had it right here, rain possible at 3 o'clock, 50% chance. That could delay the Louisville-Oregon game. Then a 50 to 60% chance for rain from 4 till 7. That would be around the scheduled start of the LSU game if they lose to UCLA. Then rain after 10 into the night. So this is going to be a lot easier if LSU wins, just bottom line, right?
Yeah, so it'll be a lot easier for everybody. It's a little iffy today and tomorrow even. There's some rain in the forecast, but hopefully it clears out by the morning. So they got a little time built into the schedule. There's at least one open day in the schedule here before the championship series begins on Saturday. So there's some flexibility, but you want to play. You want to get it going. And of course, the big question is pitching. Who's going to play? Who's going to come out for you? And who's available?
What was the feeling with the team last night after the game was called? Not called, but delayed?
Well, we didn't get to talk to anyone after the game, so it's hard to say exactly. I'm sure there was frustration. LSU had built up some momentum. Anthony Ianson had righted the ship after giving up 3 runs in the first inning. He's retired 8 of the last 9 batters he faced before the game got halted right before they started the fourth inning. And, he pitched 3 innings. It's kind of like the worst-case scenario for LSU because if he just pitched 1 inning, well, maybe you think he could come back, fairly soon, in relief, Wednesday or Thursday if they had to play. 3 innings, it makes it kind of hard. 5 innings, you got a good outing from him. So it's unfortunate for LSU, a break for UCLA because I didn't think their starting pitcher was quite as good as Ianson. So I'm sure there's frustration for LSU. They had built that. They got the home run from Jared Jones, 3-run home run. They added another run in the third on the RBI by Luis Hernandez. And I think the attitude is probably going to be you got to go with the guys from your bullpen. They got to hold the rope, as the saying goes with LSU baseball. And they've got to, I think they've got to score some more runs because UCLA, boy, they showed they could put the ball in contact, put it in play, and put a lot of pressure on your defense.
Do we know yet who's going to be pitching for LSU when UCLA takes the
I just was down and talked to Bill Frankes from LSU. He did not know. So it doesn't surprise me. Jay Johnson kind of takes a football coach's mentality. He keeps things very close to the vest. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest options are Casey Evans, the freshman who has, in the last 6 weeks that started games, has come in long relief like he did in the regional against Little Rock, has come in short relief like he did Saturday night. He did pitch Saturday night against Arkansas, but only 1 inning and threw 13 pitches. So you need some guys who are flexible like that, who can do different things. And I could see holding him in reserve too, though, for if you have to play tonight or play tomorrow. But you probably got to be all in at this point. So if not him, maybe Cooper Williams. UCLA's got a very left-hand dominant batting lineup, so I think that might be a good option. So it's there's some options for LSU. They've got their whole the good news for LSU is that they have the whole staff available except for Anderson and Ianson. Anderson, of course, started the game on Saturday.
Thank you, Scott. Hope they win. Appreciate your time. Scott Rabelais, Times-Picayune sports columnist. We'll have the pregame for you coming up at 9:30 here on WWL. All right, 9:28, Tommy Tucker, WWL. It's not often that we get preempted. Matter of fact, I don't think we've ever, in the decades we've been doing this, been preempted by sports coverage, but we're about to be because the LSU game was suspended last night due to rain with UCLA. LSU's leading 5-3, and UCLA is going to be at bat when the game resumes at 10 o'clock. Some of Newell's show, most of it will probably be preempted by LSU-UCLA baseball. The broadcasts include approximately 12:30. Could be sooner, could be later. Either way, we'll have all the action for you here. And let's hope the Tigers win because this is going to be a lot tougher for them if they don't, managing the pitching staff and so forth. Pre-game show starts in a couple of seconds. I got to thank Ian Hoke and Diane Newman and Jordan Fiegel and Tim Zimmer for all of their help. It has been a hectic morning with moving the clock around and so forth. But here we go. Get ready. LSU baseball coming up on WWL.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.